paraclete, which means to be. He will be the counselor, the comforter, and the enabler that we need. And isn't that familiar to our readings today? Because Jesus warned his disciples that he would be leaving them. And he said, unless I go, you cannot receive this other counselor whom the Father would send to be with them forever. And in our reading today from John, we actually see another courtroom scene where the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the advocate, comes to overturn and prosecute the world's view, as John writes, about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin representing the unbelief and lack of faith in God. And the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of our sense of sin and need for repentance. The Holy Spirit also convinces us of Jesus' righteousness, of his innocence and his divinity. And finally, the Holy Spirit convinces us of judgment of good over evil against Satan as ruler of this world. And not actually explicitly written by John, but the Holy Spirit also convinces us of the certainty of our salvation in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. The Spirit, as John writes, will speak to our hearts the truth of Jesus. And that put in mind, it might put in your minds too, when Jesus was facing him, asked Jesus, what is truth? And Pilate could not see the truth that was standing there before him. But our prayer is that we will know the truth as it is revealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. John writes, the Holy Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come. We are to look forward to what is ahead for us. Yesterday, I'm sure many of us broke off from the task we were doing to watch, at least perhaps for the hour, the young couple getting married yesterday, looking ahead. Bishop Curry spoke of the transforming effect of love and fire. He could have spoken of the fire of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. He could also have started singing, love, love changes everything. Don't worry, I'm not going to. But it's true, love changes everything. Love of God, love for God, and love for one another. So let us be excited by the prospect of God's love changing everything. Once he has set us in the direction that he wants us to go for him, let's not be deflected from that path. There's a poster you may have seen about saying, don't be distracted in your car. And there's the sort of the devil sitting over the shoulder of the driver with that phone in his ear. How easy it is for us to be distracted from the direction that God calls us to go. And today, being the birthday of the church, we are celebrating this festival in anticipation of what comes ahead. Perhaps God has for you a particular gift, a particular experience, a particular qualification that he wants you to use in his work and ministry in this place. The first great gift that God gave us, of course, was Jesus Christ. The second greatest gift is the Holy Spirit, a spirit that reveals, that replaces, that refreshes and renews. Yesterday morning, Bobby came in as I was here and started to renew the beautiful display of flowers. She had to remove the wilting heads, those things that needed replacing with fresh blooms. And that might put us in mind of verses from the first letter of Peter, quoting Isaiah. All flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It is that word, which is the good news, that goes with us, that leads us and directs us. The Holy Spirit has gifts for each one of us and wants us to bear the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. We're called to review and renew the gifts and talents that we have. What has God enabled each of us to do for our community? For each of us has been empowered, even if we do not yet know it or acknowledge it. And it's for each of us to help the other to discover that gift and talent that we are called to use in God's mission in this place. And there are lots of things to be done that cover the whole spectrum of mission and maintenance of this community. What is God calling each of us to do? At the first Pentecost, God spoke through the disciples in foreign tongues. They gave witness to God's deeds of power. And it may be that there are some here, and I'd like to give that opportunity, perhaps occasionally, to talk of the testimony and witness of what God has done in our lives. That will be a wonderful encouragement to each of us to hear how God is working in your life. On Thursday evening, the first meeting of the newly constituted PCC took place, and we were looking at where we might be in our ministry, in our relationships with our community over the next 2 to 5 years. To becoming more conspicuous in our community, to mark our presence, God's presence in the village. And there are a number of things that we highlighted that we want to focus on to deepen our relationship and our outreach within our community. And out from these ideas will grow something which we will call our mission action plan, that we can look and say, this is what we believe God is calling us to do, to build ourselves up in our own faith and to share that faith outside our walls. And at the end of this service, we have the opportunity to be commissioned by God to go out from this place by the Spirit's power. So as we develop that action plan that we believe God's calling us to do, to seek to be, as Bishop Stephen would have us be, that contemplative, compassionate and courageous church, enabling us, as we sang in his hymn, to be more Christ-like in the heart of our being. And what are the characteristics of our church, of us, to be able to grow into that state of being more Christ-like? We want to draw on becoming a prayerful, pastoral and prophetic people of God, being open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, using the gifts that God has given us, and being the people that he calls us to be. I invite you, as you take your notice sheet home with you, to read the second part of the Acts reading from verse 14, chapter 2. When the Spirit comes upon us, Luke writes, looking at the prophecy from Joel, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men and women will see visions, and our elders will dream visions. All of us can respond to God's presence through his Holy Spirit in our lives. Because we have received the Spirit when we first believed. And today is an opportunity to be refreshed, renewed, as we have that Spirit within us. But have we allowed him to, in fact, work in us? We may need to ask him to flow up within us. As I prayed, as we were anointed with oil, may the Holy Spirit empower us and equip us to fill us anew with his power. What does he want to reveal to you and to me? What does he want to pray for us? For as we read, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but he will intercede for us. I'm going to close with some short prayers that I invite you to respond with and fill us with your Spirit. Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that we may be strengthened to serve you better. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to make us wise to understand your will. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the peace of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to keep us confident of your love wherever you call us. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the healing of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bring reconciliation and wholeness where there is division, sickness, and sorrow. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to equip us for the work which you have given us. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the fruit of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to reveal in our lives the love of Jesus. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. Generous God, you sent your Holy Spirit upon your Messiah at the River Jordan and upon the disciples in the upper room. In your mercy, fill us with your Spirit and make us one in heart and mind to serve you with joy forever. Amen.